Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Good Monday morning, everybody. May the 4th be with you indeed. And like Keith said a few minutes ago on our call, what's the name of that little green dude? We'll talk about the little green dude at some point as well. Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's happening? What's up?
It's Yoda, Keith. That's the little green dude.
Well, I mean, y'all asked me about Star Wars. I said the little green dude, and I know there's like a RWT2W or something like that. Little green dude and Darth Vader. Who else? Hosan or something like that?
Han Solo, is that what you're going for?
Yeah, Han Solo.
There you go.
Yeah. And then that's really pretty much all it is, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you got to get Luke Skywalker in there. Yeah, but other than that, you got it covered. Yeah, you got it covered.
I mean, I had the toys as a kid packaged up, but I couldn't get the names right. I probably couldn't even if you put the toys in front of me in the labels and said attach the name to these toys, I'd probably get those four or five right. Other than that, I couldn't tell you anything about anybody else in there.
No, it's not for everybody, I guess. I know LZ's having a little trouble getting connected right now. How was the weekend, Keith?
Yeah.
I saw you got out a little bit, got a little sunshine.
It was good. It was actually really good. Got out. Around the house, but then we drove up towards Santa Barbara.
Nice.
Got out of the car, kind of on the hillside, on the Carpinteria side. You know, there's the hillside where it's right. It's not really a cliff, but it's a cliff. It's really shallow. It's not deep. Mm-hmm. There's no depth to it, and you could get out right there and hang out on the rocks a little bit until the police come. And then once the police came, then they moved everybody along, and you move down to the next destination. Because that's, you know, we were far away from each other. I mean, as far as our family, we were together, but as far as other, people, pedestrians that are out there, we were not near them. But it was nice. It was just nice to be able to get out and smell the beach and brought the dogs, and you could tell the dogs enjoyed it. They were sniffing around, you know, it's like they never even been on the beach before. It was good. It was a good little deal.
It was a beautiful weekend, a great weekend to be outside for sure. How about you, LZ? How was Phoenix?
Well, Phoenix is, you know, it's 1,000 degrees. You stay in the water. I did get a chance to blaze through a couple of network shows. I'm doing a project regarding the Emmys, and there's a couple of shows I needed to catch up on. So I really spent the weekend watching television, which is something I really don't like to do, but it was fine because the shows I was watching was fantastic. Raj, you'll be happy to know I finally made it through the entire season of Watchmen. And you're correct.
What is Watchmen?
It is outstanding. Watchmen started off as a graphic novel. There was a movie made off of that graphic novel, I want to say like maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now. And so Watchmen is an HBO series based upon this. But they put a twist on it that is so freaky amazing. It like messed me up for a few hours afterwards. It's really good because they started off. There's still elements of superhero and still elements of fantasy, of course, but they start off with a real life event, and the event is so there's so little that's talked about from this event, and it's so horrific and it was so profound, and they talked about its impact in the alternate universe, and it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Regina King, who's been doing the damn thing since 227, keeps doing the damn thing. She is so good in this show. So good.
I did not see The Watchmen, and I actually didn't get a lot of TV in this weekend until last night. Until last night when episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance dropped. And I'm just watching the reaction from everybody else. And last night was a whole bunch of different. There's Dream Team. There was Kobe. There was a little more Isaiah. There was the Nike story. There was the championship against the Suns. There was Tony Kukoc. There was a whole bunch in episodes 5 and 6 last night. And guys, let's start with the Kobe Bryant piece. Let's start with that because that was kind of the jumping off point of episode 5 about that All-Star game. Michael's last All-Star game. Kobe playing in that game. And just – hearing the old heads in the Eastern Conference talk about this kid who's coming into the All-Star game, who's going to try to take everything one-on-one, and just the, I guess the word is curiosity, that they were like, what is this guy? What does he think he's doing? It was just really, it was a very, very refreshing new way to see Kobe, because you forget that he was a kid at one point, because he became Kobe. Watching these older guys talk about Kobe as the brand new guy on the scene was awesome.
Well, it's more about they saw what everybody else saw that wasn't his teammates. And in the locker room, it becomes a bit of a joke at that point in time in their career. And the joke is more about – that was more of a joke than it was anything. It was like – like, he wants to take all the shots. He wants to do all that. He ain't going to pass me the ball. Though that was a time where he was, in his third or fourth year at that point in time. And so around the NBA and around professional sports, that's all you knew about Kobe. You didn't know greatness. You knew hot dog. And so this hot dog was coming in to an All-Star game. So it's good for the locker room to crack jokes about it with him. Now, remember – it was the East and the West, so Kobe wasn't in that particular locker room. He wasn't there. It's not that they would have shied away from saying that in front of him. He just wasn't there in the locker room, so they was making it a joke more so than anything.
Here, let's take a listen. Here's Michael talking about Kobe trying to turn that All-Star game into a game of one-on-one.
I don't believe you guys want to take everybody one-on-one.
I know, right?
We talking about Kobe?
Yeah. He don't let the game come to him.
Mm-hmm.
He just go out there and take it.
He's going to make his game.
I'm going to make this a one-on-one game.
Look, I figured after the first four attempts, it didn't go.
What? After the first four attempts, if I was a teammate, I wouldn't pass him. Hey, you want this ball again, brother. You better rebound.
It's just great to hear them talk about him like that. Like, dude, why does this guy keep taking shots when nothing's going down? And I'd never give him the ball. If he wants it, he better go rebound. Just such a refreshing way to see Kobe, and especially from some of the all-time greats.
Well, if you think about it, remember when Kobe retired, that was one of his things in the retirement speech. Everybody always was screaming to holler, pass the ball, pass the ball. Now, at the end, they wanted to take all the shots. So – this has been going on, obviously, throughout his career, but it's something fun to see. I tell you that now.
I wondered if that video was shot before the game, before the half, or afterwards.
And I think that was before. I think that was before the game.
I think so too.
Yeah, that was before the game because they was tying his MJ was putting on new shoes.
I felt it was before the game. I didn't want to assume, but it felt like it was before the game. The only reason why I bring that up is because Kobe fulfilled that prophecy, right? Like, he went out in the All-Star game, and that was 98, correct? Kobe was drafted in 96.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the 98 All-Star game we're talking about?
Yes.
The game in which he waved off Karl Malone?
Yeah.
So he goes out and does exactly what the old head said he was going to try to do. You look at Karl Malone on the block, and you wave him off. Karl Malone trying to set your screen, you wave him off. In fact, Karl Malone went to George Karl and said he wanted to get taken out of the game because of Kobe and the way that Kobe was playing. And that was confirmed by George Karl. So, you know, some of the jokes they were making, the young fella wasn't fulfilled. And it's just kind of funny, you know, looking back at it, because that has been the criticism hanging over Jordan, too, for a number of years. And in fact, if you guys remember in episodes like 1 and 2 and into 3, Jordan started astounded that he could pass the ball and it would be okay. Remember?
No.
He was saying he had to learn how to incorporate the other guys.
It was awesome for a variety of reasons, but I think, like you were saying, LZ, one of the things that just jumps out is that everything they were saying about him and the criticisms of Kobe all became true, that, yeah, he's going to take every shot because that was the best plan, because that's who he was. This just wasn't some guy who showed up in the league early, was a very talented athlete, made a couple of All-Star games, took a bunch of shots, and then, oh, hey, remember that guy. He was turning into Michael Jordan, and you could hear him talk about Michael Jordan during his interview where, you know, when you hear Kobe talk about other players and Kobe's competitive drive with other guys and Shaq, there's always a, I'm not backing up for anybody element to everything he says. With Michael, it was a little bit different. It was a little bit, you know, where he said he doesn't like the comparisons of who would win in a game, a one-on-one. You could tell that Michael Jordan, in his mind, holds a very singular place, that was the one guy, not that he was going to take a backseat to him, but he wasn't going to automatically put himself in front.
Well, it's hard. You can't put yourself in front of Michael Jordan, right? I mean, it's hard. How can you? I mean, we've watched Michael basically his entire career. We watched him his post career. It's just hard because you've got to be equal to his game or above his game all the way around. And a lot of guys aren't that way. A lot of guys can pretend to be that way, and a lot of people can set the narrative that a person is close to him. You know, even to the point where they had Clyde Drexler trying to compare him to MJ, and MJ like, man, come on, man, stop. I mean, no disrespect to the dude, a good player, but please. And you take that same approach. That's the same way I approach things when people start trying to talk about my career and talk about who is this. And I'm like, man, please, you have no idea. And that's how MJ is approaching it when you start talking about players, and Kobe knows that. So Kobe, out of all due respect, as a guard, he like that one there. You put that in another, you know, put that in another category. And then, as far as everybody else, that's what I tell you. I tell you about Jerry Rice. Everybody else, Jerry over here. Everybody else, don't tell me nothing about them. They cool. Circumstances allow them to do certain things, but don't try to put me against them. Because as far as I'm concerned, it ain't close. But that's just the mentality.
All right, so we'll talk more about Kobe. Plus, did Michael finally answer the question about the Olympics? Did he say it or not? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
So what would you guys say? It was most of last week. We were having this discussion about Isaiah and Michael and their relationship or lack thereof, and Isaiah saying that he's off the Olympic team because Michael didn't want him, and Rod Thorne said what he said, and Michael's never really said it. Did we get the answer we wanted last night?
I certainly got the answer that I wanted. You were 100% last night. I thought that when you go about and you take a look at everything that went on in terms of Michael, in terms of the rumors that was out there, people were screaming and hollering for blood to hear Michael say he had nothing to do with it, because they didn't hear Rod, felt they didn't believe in Rod Thornton saying what he said, which is Michael had nothing to do with it. And as Michael went on to say, he had nothing to do with it. The committee had nothing to do with it. I mean, had a lot to do with it. The coaches who was part of that committee might have had something to do with it. But the players didn't have anything to do with it. And I think when they asked him to join and he said that, hey, I'll join, but who's all going to be on this team? And the guy said to him that the one guy that you're thinking about without naming any names is not going to be a participant, had nothing to do with MJ. He didn't strike that.
Wait
that
a second.
Was
Hold on.
They struck up based
Hold
on.
No, Keith, come on, man. You can't. If I say to you, hey, would you be on the team? And you say to me, well, yeah, who else is going to be on it? And my very first answer is, oh, don't worry, he's not going to be there. But that he's not saying it, but he's
no,
saying
he
it.
Say
we
it.
Know that he's saying, I'll only come if he's not there.
He never said it.
But,
he
yeah,
never said
come
it.
On,
the
man.
Decision, the
come
decision
on,
was
man.
Already made prior. The decision was already made prior, Travis.
The decision was made prior because they knew if they wanted Michael,
but that ain't my fault.
But
you can't blame me. That's not my fault. That's not my fault. Y'all the ones made that decision. I didn't come to you and say, I don't want this dude around me.
But if the very first thing out of your mouth is he coming? And you say, no, 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 don't worry about that. Then it doesn't have to be said. It's like anything else. Sometimes you can get what you want without saying it explicitly.
But you can't blame somebody. You can't just blame somebody that had nothing to do with it. Everybody was going out saying that Michael was the one who said he shouldn't be on the team. Michael said, I ain't playing if he – Michael didn't say that. And neither did Magic. And neither did Bird. None of them said it.
He would have to say, I'm not coming unless you leave Isaiah off the team. You'd need a sentence that explicit.
It doesn't have to be that, but I need him to say, I'm not coming. I'm not going to play with this dude. Who's the dude?
At the end of the day, we all know
And they all
that
said
this was not a basketball decision. It was based upon some personal stuff. Now I will say that we did not get the question answered because no one would come out and answer the question. Everyone kept pushing it or pointing fingers to someone else. And it's fine. It is what it is, but this happened decades ago. I just would have thought that in a documentary where you had 10 freaking episodes, somebody within that 10 would have just been like, I didn't want Isaiah on the team. No one stood up and did that. Everyone pointed fingers at someone else. So
man, they all said we didn't tell them not to do it. They did it on their own based on the knowledge that it probably wasn't going to go down anyway. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
What's the key?
I'll tell you what's wrong with the key. What's wrong with it is that if you're going to talk about how hard somebody is, you're a man, you're strong, blah, 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 but everybody's ducking this one question. I'm just wondering, why are you ducking the one question? Why does everyone keep pointing the finger at someone else and no one wants to say, I did blah, 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 blah. No one wants to take that step. They're saying, well, I don't know. They came to me and the team was set. You go to Rob Thorne. But Michael never brought it up. And I don't know. We had a process. What damn process did you have that had, based upon Michael Jordan's assessment, the second greatest point guard in the history of this game, still very much in his prime, just came up with 3 straight trips to the finals, but we decided through the process that he didn't make the team. Somebody should have just owned up to it, but they didn't own up to it, so whatever.
I think they owned up to it, and I think, in all honesty, I think if you go do the things that you was doing and when you was playing and treating people the way you was treating them or doing whatever it was that they disliked with all of them in that position, I believe that at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do to move the Olympic team forward with the guys that they wanted on the team. If Isaiah's going to run around and get confrontation with Magic and Bird and Jordan and whomever else, in the Pippen,
really?
4 dudes on that Olympic team. It was 4 dudes on that Olympic team that he got into major confrontations with during the course of his career. And at the end of the day, you're supposed to just put him on the team. Well, them 4 dudes is vital parts of the Olympic teams.
Here's the part I don't understand. It's kind of all these things together. It's perfectly okay for Michael Jordan to say, I don't want to be on the team if Isaiah is on the team. That's fine. If that's how he feels, great.
Right.
Great. Okay, I get it. I get that you
but
guys
the decision was already
page.
Made before.
Like
but the decision but was Key, already
wasn't.
Made it, before
that,
they had a
so
conversation with him.
It wasn't made. The very first question out of his mouth, according to him, was, hey, is who's going to be on the team?
But the decision to not have Isaiah on the team was already made before they approached those dudes, man.
Perhaps, but the reason the decision was made that way is because that was the only way they were going to get Michael, and so that they wanted Michael. Obviously, is
the
most important person.
That might have been the only way they was going to get any of them. We don't know because they didn't go in depth
perhaps,
on that.
But Michael's the gatekeeper. If you get Michael, you get everybody else you want. If Michael's in, everybody else, Magic and Larry and everybody else on this team follows because Michael is the.
So you blame MJ for that?
No, you're not listening. I'm not blaming anybody.
So why should he have to stand up and have a conversation about, I'm the one who basically kept him out of the Olympics?
Because it's the one part of this where he's ducking the most obvious thing in the room. Not. Michael Jordan takes responsibilities for things, and for whatever reason, he's choosing to not take responsibility for this. I don't care that he did it at all. That's fine. It's his team. He can put on whoever he wants. But I don't understand why he won't say that he could do whatever he wants. Because Michael tells everybody out there, you, it's going to be like this, and this is the way it's going to be. Great. You're Michael Jordan. You can do whatever you want. I appreciate it. I get it. You're the man. But on this one instance, he's saying, I don't know what happened. It's just odd.
it's so funny, man, because I'm watching it, and I'm being reminded that the person who we're featuring is the person that controlled all the footage and the person that greenlighted the event. And so you can't ask for complete objectivity in terms of getting to the heart of certain matters. It's always going to be fudged a little bit, and that's okay. You know, that's what we get. That's what we understand going into it. Like when you think about what he was talking about with the gambling, and he said he was out the hotel, before midnight. Well, the newspaper story said he was spotted at 2:30 2:30 in the morning.
But
in
can't
the lobby.
Listen. I can't listen to the newspaper story. If that man said I was back in my hotel at midnight, then that's what I'm going with. I don't give a damn what the newspaper. Because the newspaper is getting third hand information at that point. They getting third hand information at that point. Well, they getting third hand. If I can't listen to the newspapers, because the newspapers have had me in places that I wasn't in before too. So I can't listen to that.
Let me help you out. If it wasn't for the newspaper, you wouldn't have known that he was in Atlantic City.
Let me help you out.
So don't be blaming journalism.
Let's help each other out, and we'll continue the conversation on the other side. More on Isaiah, more on Michael, and who got something third hand from the newspaper. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, so continuing the conversation about The Last Dance last night, we saw parts 5 and 6, parts 7 and 8. And by the way, guys, we're getting closer to the end of this. When
there's
5
no
ended, I didn't like that we were
there's
halfway
no
through
end to it. Just like
Tiger What's that,
King? Key? There's no end to it. It's just like Tiger King. They're going to add a few more episodes.
Good. I hope they're furiously working right now to put together episodes 11 through however many they want to do, because I'll be there for absolutely every single one of them.
I know it's so good that I got my son complaining there's too many commercials.
Well, I mean, you know, we got to get paid.
I know, but he doesn't. He's 8 years old. He wants to just keep seeing it. He doesn't want it to stop to go to commercials.
It is really remarkably compelling. So, and every time they'll change the subject, whether it goes from Kobe to the Dream Team to the Reebok piece. It's just every time they get you, oh, that's right, I remember this part, or I remember that part, or I remember when this happened. And then you get a little bit more of the details in this. Like, for instance, the Reebok thing, that I remember that Michael didn't want to be photographed with a Reebok apparel on. And I get it. Nike's paying him a fortune. He's a partner with Nike. That makes perfect sense to me. But that it was as calculated as it was, seeing that, wait till, you know, they have no idea how I'm going to cover it up. I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was just classic Michael, just a step ahead of the game of everybody else.
It's ridiculous, though. It's ridiculous to the point where everything Michael Jordan did in his career, a lot of us athletes copied. 1996 Rose Bowl, I put black sleeves over my Nike shoes because that was my last collegiate game. And because Michael Jordan did what he did in the Olympics, I remember I need to cover up this logo so that I'm not giving free advertisement away, and I'm going to wind up signing with Adidas. And USC was a Nike school. There's just so much stuff throughout his career that one would copy and try and just do. Oh, he did it. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. This makes perfect sense. I mean, you could see it throughout these interviews. You could just see certain things, whether it's Amar Rashad to this day still wearing a hoop earring. Everybody smoking cigars in a locker room. Everybody. The head coach, and they're not smoking them. They're not smoking them like the Boston Celtics did, light it up at the championship. They just smoking them, just MJ smoking them. Hey, we going to smoke them.
It was awesome to also just be reminded of who was involved in the culture, if you will, in the 1990s. I thought they did a fantastic job with soundtrack. The songs were spot on year to year to year, which, real talk, is a big thing, because music and hip hop was really starting to really blossom at that point, and we were really starting to spread our wings in a lot of different ways in terms of hip hop becoming popular music. And I thought he did a fantastic job of finding the songs that would resonate, but wasn't watered down hip hop. It was still real hip hop. And then you throw in Spike. And Spike, man, people forget, Spike's been in the game a long time, influencing the way that we're perceived, influencing what we talk about, pointing the direction. when he did Malcolm X movie, the sales for the autobiography of Malcolm X skyrocketed through the roof. Everybody wanted to know about it. So we had him and Mike together with projects. You had basically the attention of every single person who wanted anything to do with something that was happening right now. Because those two guys, they were it.
It was, yeah, he certainly, MJ certainly did things that was interesting. But go ahead, Travis, go and give me what you got.
No, it was funny to me that Michael is always Michael, whether it's covering up the logo, whether it's because you were talking about the cigars a second ago, Key, and when they're smoking them here, there. But after one of the championships, when everybody's having a good time, the beer and the champagne's getting sprayed all over, the cigars are being lit. And Jerry Krause says to Michael, hey, give me one of those cigars. And Michael says, no, it'll stunt your growth. And even in a moment of euphoria, jubilation, and celebration, and all of these things, Michael is still Michael, and he's going to absolutely twist the knife in that guy. And I get why. I absolutely get it.
And that's what happens when you don't like somebody. When you don't like them, you take a dig at them every chance you can, because at the end of the day, you know who that person is. You know, yeah, Jerry Krause may have built the team and found some players and all those sort of things, but he's doing stuff. He got you. He talking the noise. Now, in the documentary, it make me wonder about this dude, right? Because all of a sudden, Dan Marley is the best and this, that, and the other. Okay, I'm going to show you. Now, all of a sudden, Tony Kukoc is this. I'm going to pay Tony Kukoc more money than I'm going to pay Scottie Pippen. Like, what? Like, okay, no problem. Tell you what, man, me and Pip, we got this. None of y'all, don't even, when we switch off, let us switch. Y'all don't touch him.
Yeah, there, he's ours. The quote from Krause in there after one of the championships where he's going on and on and on about this organization is great, from the guy that's running the locker room all the way up to Jerry Reinsdorf, and it's the organization, and this organization is special, and this is one of the organizations that's the best in the league. He never once mentioned the players. He always made the players seem ancillary to whatever it is that they were doing. That he went out of his way to alienate himself from those players. And look, the guy obviously knew talent. He was able to identify all of these different guys and put them in positions, but he was the worst manager of people that I've ever seen in my life, because he's spitting in the faces of the guys that are making this happen.
You know who he reminded me of?
He doesn't care.
He reminded me of an NFL owner. He sounded like an NFL owner to me, more so than an NBA owner.
See, I ain't never heard NFL owners talk like that. But I mean, maybe you have.
Well, their policies are like that. To me.
Yeah, well,
their policies treat players like they're disposable, and it's all about the franchise. It's all about the protect the shield. But the players are disposable.
Well, I hate to say it to you. Some players in the NFL are disposable.
Not Michael Jordan.
I hate to give you that, but there are players that are disposable. That's why the roster change over so much all the time.
No, I get that.
That's why. I hate to say it.
That's what I'm saying.
It is an assembly line. That's the
like
reality
that.
Of it. That's the sport that you choose. It's an assembly line. Somebody going to get off. Somebody going to get on. Somebody's going to get off.
For sure it is in all professional sports. Guys get off and guys get on all the time. But there are guys that transcend that, and nobody has transcended it more than Michael. And Krause wouldn't even give Michael any quarter. It was never, look, this organization's great. We also have Michael Jordan. I mean, it's Michael Jordan. If you can't see that word,
Krause wasn't going to see it, because at the end of the day, he was going to win the battle against the top dude in the NBA, because the top dude in the NBA was going to get older and couldn't play anymore. So taking digs and swipes at players, they're going to get older and can't play anymore. I'm going to get older, but I can still scout, I can still sit behind a desk, I can still do all of those sort of things. So at the end of the day, they're going to be gone, but I could potentially still be here. I could be a general manager for 35, 40 years. You can't play 35, 40 years. And he knew that. So he was going to try to win that battle anyway.
All right, so we have the good, the bad, and the wait. Did I see that right? That's coming up next. All Last Dance edition on the morning show, 710 ESPN. All right, guys, so the good, the bad, and the what from this weekend's edition of The Last Dance, episodes 5 and 6. I will go first with the good, and I really want to go first because I have a feeling we're all going to have wanted to lay claim to this. I'm taking Michael Jordan's security guard when they were throwing quarters up against the wall and gambling, and the guy with the white mullet and the gun taking $20 off of Michael Jordan, because we know that that $20 is less than a penny to Michael, but having his security guy take it off of him because his quarter was closer to the wall was the highlight of the night for me. Loved it.
It didn't hurt him as far as money go, but it hurt him as far as pride, because he
yes,
lost.
Exactly.
No, I told you about the quarter story some time ago before we even saw The Last Dance. We were just having conversations about interactions with Michael. And to this day, he still owes me some money because of things like that. But he's just – that's who MJ is. He's just competitive and he wants to compete. I would say my good is the Kobe Bryant being able to say that Michael Jordan is the reason or part of the reason that he has 5 championships, because – he watched, he emulated, he studied, all of those sort of things, and got advice from the greatest basketball player to live, and he certainly benefited from that. So that's a good thing to see, that it's just not all fiction that's out there like a lot of people was trying to make it seem for many, many years.
LZ?
My good would be the camera work and the film editing that allowed us to see the fear in Clyde Drexler's eyes when he faced Michael Jordan in the finals. I saw him pulling his shorts up 50, 11 different times, and I was like, dog, they're already short. You keep pulling your shorts up. Mike's about to do this work, and you're just in for a ride. And you could see it on his face. Like, he was so, I remember that series like it was yesterday, because the media was hyping this up. Clyde Drexler is just as good as MJ. Now we're going to see who's really the best. And I never bought into it. I never thought that Clyde Drexler was anywhere near as good as Michael Jordan. And to see Clyde Drexler's face when he started popping those threes, you knew Clyde knew that too. It was so funny. I was just like, dog, nervous? He's scared? He putting them shorts up? They already up. His crotch went up. What more did he want?
Well, I don't think it was in the doc last night. I've seen so many interviews and read so many things. It's all kind of running together. But Danny Ainge had a great quote, because Danny Ainge was on that team in Portland. And he said that he knew they were in big trouble because of that narrative that everyone was saying about Michael and Clyde, and they're the two best and they're similar. And Danny Ainge knew that that was going to piss Michael off. And he's like, we're in big, big, you guys need to stop doing this. You're going to, and sure enough, he comes out there and just hammers the guy and broke it. And then he carried it over to the Olympic team too. And to the point where guys had to tell, hey, take it easy on Clyde. I mean, that's Michael in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah, Clyde should have said, y'all stop doing it. That might have helped.
Yeah, he should have. Let's go to the bad. I remember the story. I remember it being a big deal at the time, but I did not remember the intensity and the duration of the way that the media reacted to Michael Jordan going to the casino that night. I don't remember that it got to the point where they were treating him a certain way. And watching it last night, like, I remember, oh, wow, Michael was out late. Okay, that's kind of that's different. You don't typically see that. And I remember it being a topic of conversation for days at a time. But the way that we, and I'll throw us, that the media dealt with that story and made it into something that it clearly was not, I thought was a really poor reflection on the people that do what we do for a living, that they turned that into a witch hunt because the guy wanted to go play some cards late one night. Who cares?
Well, I personally didn't care and didn't care heading into the episode. But when Mike tried to tell us that he was in his hotel by midnight.
Well, that wasn't true.
That's when I raised my eyebrow. I was like, hold up now, dog. Hold up. They have employees at the hotel saying that you checked out after 11 o'clock. It's a 2-hour drive from Atlanta City back to New York. So even if you didn't hang out after you checked out, you're still at your hotel after 1 o'clock in the morning, just based on the drive alone. And if you want to say, okay, well, then I took a plane. All right, you took a private plane. You still going to have to fight through traffic to get to the hotel. There is no scenario in which checking out after 11 o'clock at night gets you back in the hotel by midnight.
But why sit on that, though? Why is that such a sore subject that he said that, okay, I'm at the hotel at 12, 12:30, 1, whatever it is. Who gives a damn? Why do I care? I don't care.
No, I don't care. I don't care either, but clearly he does because he didn't tell the truth.
And that doesn't mean he told the truth just because he said a time. So I was back at the hotel at 12. I was back at the hotel at 2. I was back there at 11:30. I don't know, and I don't care. I was in my damn room. It had nothing to do with me playing basketball.
Key, what's your bad?
My bad there, Travis, is the fact that the Olympic team had a practice in which they allowed Michael Jordan to take control, and it became the birth of Michael Jordan, young, and everybody else out that's old, because they just kept talking so much trash to him that it lit a fuse that he couldn't set, that they couldn't put out. So shame on them. You should have known better.
It should have been careful. Be careful with that. What about you, LZ?
My bad was Michael Jordan saying that he did, in fact, say Republicans buy sneakers too. That one hurt. Because I always held on to the belief that it was a loose quote and that he never actually said it. And someone cobbled it together and said that he said it. But when he admitted it that he said it, that one hurt.
It was off the cuff like he says it was? Because to me, that was a decent explanation.
I don't mind him. I don't mind him saying that at all. Because he was off
that
the
didn't
cuff.
Bother
he
me.
Was on the bus just talking, jiving around. We say things all the time. You think we really mean some of the things that we say in just? I mean, come on LZ.
But the fact is, Key, is that his actions supported that statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he didn't want to endorse somebody.
He don't want to get involved in politics. No. I know Michael Jordan's history really, really well. I know after he allegedly said that Craig Hodges was blackballed because he was trying to get Michael Jordan to do some other things for the black community, and Mike didn't want to do that either. And all of a sudden now Craig Hodges is eliminated from the team after that first championship. There have been other examples to
put it this way, know your lane.
Well, I'm just saying there have been other examples as to why this cloud hangs over Michael Jordan. I just did not want that aspect of it to be true, and it was, and that one hurt me because I always was just like, no, Mike didn't say that, MJ didn't say that, but apparently he did.
All right, let's go to the what portion of the good, the bad, and the what. And for me, and we'll get to talk to him about this coming up at 8:15, but getting to see Michael out on the court during the 91 finals was really fun to see. That just there was a little dust up where guys are pushing each other back and forth, and all of a sudden there's Michael in the middle of it, just breaking it up, because I haven't seen Michael out on the court in a very long time. It was very cool to see Michael in the middle of the Last Dance. What about you, Key?
I would say my what is what the hell was they wearing in that training room with all them big ass suits on with all that material? It looked like some of them suits, man. In
pretty
the
big.
Ties. They're I mean, big. I guess it was that era, but God. Jeez. And then everybody was a replica of MJ. They all was a replica of him. They all sitting back smoking their cigars, all laid up with them big suits on. It was that to me was like, what?
LZ?
My what has to be the Charles Barkley Phoenix Suns series. When Charles said that he felt real confident going into the series against Michael Jordan and Bulls, I was like, wait, what? Why would you be confident going into a series against the Bulls ever? Ever? Ever. If I'm a superstar and this is my first trip to the finals, the last thing I am is extremely confident going to face someone who lives in the finals. And I was just like, just when he said that, I was like, oh man, that got to be some editing glitch or something. He didn't just say he was confident getting ready to face the Bulls in the finals.
I did like when Michael, or I should say when Charles, after they won that game in Chicago, take that bleep off the windows. That was a quintessential Charles moment. Just classic Charles Barkley. Now, they ended up getting beat in Phoenix a couple of days later, but at least for a day, he had a pretty good line.
Yeah, he did. That was funny. That was funny. But I've seen, similar examples of that. And you just like going, ooh, dang, y'all got ahead of it.
Look, we got ways to go. We've got another four episodes to go. But if there's one giant takeaway from this through the first six, never mess with Michael. Don't say anything. Don't look at him. Don't make a suggestion. Don't say anything that might be able to turn into a slight, because he's going to use it for the rest of his life. He does it every single time. All right. Nui Scruggs is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys signing a quarterback, not the quarterback, but a quarterback. That's coming up next on the Morning Show at 710 ESPN.